Welcome back to Sports Day. Time now for our motorsport segment, and a man who has kindly given us his time once again is Michael Laminato. He is the expert when it comes to F1s and Red Bull's Maxi Verstappen. Michael just keeps on getting it done, winning in Montreal this time.
You cannot stop him. This is his fifth win in six races, his sixth win of the year. We've only had nine Grand Prix. That's two-thirds, if you want me to do the math for you. It's a lot of winning, and as a result, he's 46 points ahead of his own teammate in the championship and 49 points ahead of Charles Leclerc. And this was, I mean, an important win sort of overstates it a bit when he's already got quite the lead in the championship standings. But it was a really big win because the Red Bull car, tempting though it might be to think that it is the dominant machine given that championship advantage, it really isn't. It wasn't even faster than the Ferrari car this weekend, but Max really made the difference. Pole in the wet, a really impressive pole, 7/10 pretty much ahead of anybody else. And then absorbed pressure really fantastically well in that final last 16-lap chase we saw with Carlos Sainz in the faster package behind him. Just did it all perfectly, won by less than 1 second, and as a result, well, he's sitting very pretty at the top of the championship standing.
You mentioned Charles Leclerc, and what we know is that his grid position certainly didn't help his cause as he's trying to rebuild his championship bid.
No, it's the double-edged sword of engine failure, really. He's had two engine failures in the last four rounds in Spain and Azerbaijan, and he's now he's above his limit of engines for the season. And they did this a little bit tactically. He could have avoided a penalty this weekend, but because overtaking is relatively achievable in Canada, they decided to have two brand-new power units this weekend, which means at least he's got two in the pool going forward, which hopefully means he won't need another penalty. Well, it depends if the engines last, of course, until after the mid-season break. And he did pretty well. He achieved pretty good damage limitation. They targeted fifth before the race. Fifth is what they got. Maybe there was another position on the table where they had a cleaner pit stop and made the pit stop a little bit earlier as well. But when you're starting from 19th, there's only so much you can hope for. As a result, though, he's nearly one clean victory, nearly 50 points off the title lead. So he's got to get back to his winning ways. There's no two ways about it. The only thing he can do from here is just win.
Now, what about the pit talk, Michael? I know that we've been harping on about this, but McLaren boss clarifies Ricciardo criticism. The headline, we want just an honest answer. How do you feel about what he's had to say after ripping into the FIA?
Yeah, it's an interesting situation with McLaren overall, really. They had some shocking pit stops, first of all, in this race that really cooked Daniel Ricciardo's chances of points. He had a decent race, Daniel Ricciardo, overall. And it's a little bit of a dawning, I guess. Not that McLaren doesn't know that their car is not up to standard this year. They thought they were going to be in the front-running positions, and they've had some decent races this year. But this was just one of the increasing number of Grand Prix they've had where the car's just not really on the pace. And I thought it was interesting that Andreas Seidel is the team principal, and even Zak Brown, the CEO of McLaren, who, of course, we know in recent races has been a little bit critical of Daniel Ricciardo. He says he's just being open and honest in response to questions, and I guess that is fair enough. Daniel Ricciardo's admitted that. But they've both apologised now to the team for a car that's just not quite up to standard, and also to the drivers for some quite poor service in the pit stops that meant they didn't score any points. And it's a bit of a difficult position for McLaren now because they are still fourth in the constructor standings. Not where they want to be, of course, but at least at the head of the midfield. But Alpine and Alfa Romeo, two teams that ordinarily shouldn't be bothering them too much, are right behind them, less than 15 points behind them. And both those teams scored with both drivers and had some really good races. And if those teams can string together some reliability, they really have quicker packages at this point in time. So suddenly McLaren's looking at a season that's merely just like last year, where they're sort of the quickest midfield car, to one where they are potentially going to be buried in the championship standings, a real step backwards. And that's not what they want to see, and they really need to bounce back from here.
Now, Christian Horner has had a crack at the porpoising wars. Now, it's followed the clashes amongst the teams at the Canadian Grand Prix that Mercedes had been fed some inside information from the FIA and now taking some steps to stamp out the bouncing of cars. Can you just describe that on how that works to our audience tonight?
Yeah, so anyone who's watched a little bit of the racing this season, particularly in the last two rounds, Azerbaijan, the previous race in particular, will be familiar with this phenomenon of the cars bouncing up and down. It's got to do with the way these new rules work. But the teams have largely sorted out the worst of it, except for Mercedes, because Mercedes has to run the suspension so stiff and the car so close to the ground to be even sort of reasonably quick, and they're still only third fastest. But the ride quality is really bad. If you saw after the Azerbaijan Grand Prix, Lewis Hamilton getting out of the car, he was clearly in a lot of physical pain. And as a result, the drivers have more or less banded together, almost all of them, and have lobbied the FIA to somehow make the teams not run the cars so low and so stiff. Now, it sounds kind of easy on the outside, right? Like, the teams just don't do it. Just get the drivers to ask them. But of course, if you're a driver and if you're a team and you're presented with two options, one is to have a comfortable ride but a slower car, or a faster car that might hurt you, they're all going to choose the faster car. It's in their hardwired to do it. It's in their nature. So the FIA in Canada came up with a strategy to try and reduce this over the next couple of races. It involves a lot of data gathering, but they also did make some rule tweaks, which there's a little bit of debate about whether they're allowed to do it in the way they've done it. Maybe they're breaking their own rules. And Mercedes, despite these rule changes being made the day before practice started, essentially, really quite late, Mercedes was ready for them. They brought the tweaked parts that suddenly were allowed to be run, and that's kind of raised the ire of Ferrari and Red Bull, and they took them off the car out of the interest of fairness later on in the weekend. So in that sense, no harm done. But there's a lot of politicking going on, because if rule changes are made and the FIA can make them on safety grounds, it could change the complexion of the championship. Red Bull doesn't have these bouncing problems. Ferrari and Mercedes do. Suddenly they might get much faster, and all of a sudden Red Bull's position at the top of the standings would be completely different. So it is a bit of a complicated issue. There's a lot of politics involved, and this is by no means the end of it. It's got a lot of potential to really blow up over the next month.
Got to say, Michael, it's above my Formula One IQ, but I like the way you've tried to explain it to myself and the listeners. So we're speaking to Michael Laminato, our motor racing expert on Sports Day, turning our attention to supercars. Darwin, race 17, Will Davison picked up the checkered flag, and race 18, Chas Mostert was the first across the line. Always a fun time up in Darwin.
Yeah, everyone always has a fun time in Darwin, generally, I think. When I spoke to you guys last week or the week before about this, the question was, you know, how many race wins is Shane Van Gisbergen going to get? He'd come off fifth place at Le Mans in the class, and of course he's sort of the unstoppable reigning champion. Well, unstoppable, certainly not. Didn't pick up any wins. Had a decent weekend in the first two races, to be fair. We shouldn't overstate this, but made a pretty substantial mistake at the safety car restart in race three, dropped all the way to the back and picked up a penalty for good measure. All of a sudden, from looking like he could have extended his championship lead to a clear weekend, 300 points, he's now down closer to 200 points. All of his championship rivals, excluding Will Davison, unfortunately, but he had a very strong weekend overall, Will Davison, all picked up wins as well. So every single one of them sort of had a little bit of a kick this weekend. And all of a sudden, from what looked like a kind of a little bit of a grim championship picture at the halfway mark, is a little bit more alive. Now, we shouldn't overstate this. He's still got a very healthy championship lead. He's still very quick. He still races for Triple Eight. But a little bit of belief is sometimes all you need in sport, isn't it? And all of a sudden, you've got these four drivers who've all got a little bit more belief that they can take this one on. And that's the really big news ahead of Townsville. So a pretty important weekend in Darwin for the championship.
I think the bigger news is that Gary Jacobson got the flick a couple of hours ago. Gonski, he finished 22nd, 18th and 22nd. After six rounds, he's 24th in the standings. And Premier have just said, see you later, mate. Ta-da.
And he had a rough weekend in Darwin as well. It comes off the back of a penalty in race three, I think it was actually, but don't quote me. They did big weekend of motorsport. It all did blend into one a little bit. And this is a new team still trying to make an impression on the championship. So a little bit of a shock there. But, I mean, you're only as good as your last race in motorsport, aren't you? And unfortunately, you didn't have a particularly good one. And that's the way it's going to crumble for it.
Thank you very much for joining us tonight, mate. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Anytime.
And Michael Laminato, if you want to go and check out all of his great work, just go to michaellaminato.com.au and you'll see exactly what Michael gets up to. He's got some great podcasts and things that you can go and see there. So we thank him for his valuable time here tonight on Sports Day. Perth's Festival of International Football Icon is coming to Optus Stadium July 22 and 23. Friday the 22nd of July, it's Crystal Palace who play Leeds United. And on Saturday the 23rd of July, it's Manchester United taking on Aston Villa. Now, tickets are available right now through Ticketek, but to win your way into a premium Open box for you and a friend, including catering. You can enter right now at iCanWin.com.au. That's one word, iCanWin.com.au. We'll clear a commitment, come back, and we'll be joined by Johnny Slavich on the back of his COVID. He'll have a chat to us next here on Sports Day.